Good morning. Thank you for starting your week with me. This is Becky Speed, the Christian Direct Seller, and I have been joined with amazing men and women of God this morning. And today we're talking about building or rebuilding your life and business. And this has just been a phenomenal study for me, and I've really enjoyed it. So I hope that it touches your hearts. We've been gathering prayer requests and praise reports before we started the recording, and we'll definitely be lifting you up in prayer. But just so that you know, if you'd like to get on about 5 minutes early for the call, we take prayer requests and praise reports then, and then we start the teaching. I'll be praying for any specific prayer requests at the end of our call. And then know that you can always reach out to us on Facebook at The Christian Direct Seller. And we will take prayer requests there, and I'll be praying for you. And post your praise reports there. There's been lots of praise reports and things like that coming in. And a lot of people will even be posting things before the end of our call about how God's answered their prayer. So I love to be able to give God the glory that way. And it's just a fun, fun way to stay encouraged with each other. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit today about the man that built the Great Wall, and that was Nehemiah. And when my kids were little, we had a video, and it was by Quigley's Village, and it was all these little Muppet things, and they would sing the song, Together We Get the Job Done. And I can still, anytime somebody says Nehemiah, that song goes through my mind, and I see all these little characters dancing around the wall as they're building the wall. And what had happened is Nehemiah was the cupbearer for the king. They had been exiled because they were backsliding. Plain and simple, they were just disobeying what God had told them to do, the Israelites, and so they were exiled. And the Lord laid on Nehemiah's heart a burden. And what I love about Nehemiah is that he saw a need, and then he rose up. He captured a vision. He didn't necessarily have the vision at the beginning, but he captured the vision, and he laid a plan, and he mobilized other people to join him in his cause. And one of the most amazing things in the book of Nehemiah is that there were really no overt, broad-in-your-face kind of miracles that occurred in the book. There wasn't anybody that was healed or raised from the dead or anything like that. Yet it holds the secret to building or rebuilding our lives and our businesses. God simply just answered prayer by providing a leader with strength and wisdom. And I believe if you're on the call today that you are a leader. You're one that steps up to the plate. You're one that God has called. So I want you to listen carefully to some of the key things that we're going to talk about today. And know that at the end of our time, I'm going to give you some principles and some step-by-step guidelines on what you can really use today to build and rebuild your life or your business. One of the things that I thought was pretty interesting is how Nehemiah stationed workers in logical positions, and they all labored successfully until they finished their work. So think about that sometimes the Lord gives us a burden first. Then what Nehemiah did is he prayed. And then he got even a greater burden, and he captured a vision. He sought the Lord, and he really prayed for his people. He also became their coach, and he got in there in the trenches, and he did the work. He stayed in the field. So if you're a leader that's like, man, I just can't wait till I can get my team built strong enough to get out of the field, I want you to really consider what the Lord shows us in his word. It took a coach for him, for them to work as a team. They didn't all of a sudden just decide, like, okay, yeah, they're just going to go and work. No, he coached them. He trained them. He listened to the Lord, and he gave them specific instruction, and he empowered them to work in their areas of their gifting and their strengths. You know, some of the key points that really stuck out to me in the story were that you can't separate good leadership from a clear vision. You've got to have clear vision, and you've got to have strong leadership. So maybe that's an area that you need to enhance one or the other in. You know, leaders pray first, and then they continue to pray and intercede on behalf of their people. And there's examples of this in Nehemiah 1, 3 through 11. I'm going to read that just real quick here for you, because I think that's really important that we actually hear the word of God on this. And it says, and they said to me, this is after he was kind of like hearing the call, and there were, some of his people had escaped and survived captivity, and they came to him and they said, you know, the survivors who are left from captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. I want you to think about the people that we know here, even in America. I know there's several people here from Canada as well, but I want you to think about Are the people around you in distress? Are they in reproach? Are they feeling like they're going to be under attack, or are they under attack right now? Think about your neighbors. Think about the people that you talk with. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and the gates are burned with fire. There's no protection. They feel like they're going to be vulnerable. They're not sure. They're uncertain about their future. Think about that and how that affects your business. Isn't this exactly what we're going through right now? It tells us, so it was when I heard these words, this is Nehemiah speaking, that I sat down, I wept, and I mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said to him, I pray, Lord of God, the God of heaven, O great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments. Now I want to stop there for a second. You know, Jesus came to fulfill the second covenant. So if we are a child of his, we are in covenant already. So he's just reminding him of that covenant. Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes be open that you can hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now day and night for the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against you. So he's saying, you know what? These people have sinned against you, God. I want you to hear me. And we know that God hears us no matter what we pray, right? Both my father's house and I have sinned. We've acted very corruptly against you, and we've kept the commandments, the statutes. We have not kept the commandments or the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and I will bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, O Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name. And let your servant prosper this day, I pray, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. So he was getting ready to go before the king to even ask if he could do this. So he was bold, but he was very attentive to timing. He stayed under authority and was not listening to rebellious grumbling, gossip. He stayed in the peace. He didn't lag with distractions. And you're going to see the enemy just comes at him once he gets permission in the story to rebuild the wall from the king. I mean, Satan and the enemy just came like crazy with all kinds of distractions, and they were going to battle while they were building, and it was just like a huge opposition that was coming against him. But he stayed in the peace of God, and he instructed and he coached his team, and he held tight to that vision. You know, one of the things that's really evident is that Satan's strategies are confusion and disillusionment. So whenever there's confusion or you feel disillusioned, realize it's the work of the enemy. We've got to come back to that peace of God. Just like the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, what led them at night was a pillar of fire, right? And they were under the cloud of protection during the day. But if they got distracted and they got out from underneath the cloud, man, it was hot. They would be like burning up. And they wouldn't know exactly where they were supposed to be moving and going. But sometimes we like to get ahead, as well as sometimes we allow distractions and confusion to make us lag behind. You know, if we notice in the story of Nehemiah as well, what got them there, the Israelites here, is they were backsliding. And so they got conquered by the enemy. So the other key points that I saw as I read through is that we must be strong and stand in God's strength and not our own strength. And as we build, this is huge, because a lot of us think, like, okay, now I'm following God, everything's going to be great, and I just need to go and build my team, and it's going to be awesome. But as we build, we need to be prepared for battle, and we have to stand strong with our families. That's found in Nehemiah 4:11-20. Also in verse 23 of chapter 4, it tells us that they were instructed to keep their clothes on always, and to carry weapons, and always be battle-ready. Can you imagine building with your tools in one hand and then a weapon in the other? because they knew that at any moment the enemy was, could attack them or they would be under attack. And so what he did is Nehemiah stationed trumpeters around the city at different places, and they would sound the alarm, and if someone would start to attack that specific section, they would go there and they would help battle there. So they didn't have any time to, like, go home, you know, put their tools down, go home, get on their armor and all that, and then go pick up their weapons. No, they had to get right with it. They had to get right over there, and they had to protect. And they had to stand strong with their families while they were building. We need to stay with our clothes on all the time as well as we're building and rebuilding. We need to be robed in righteousness of Christ. That's what our robes are. And we have to make sure that we're not sloppy or complacent or passive or lazy in our work or in our lives, because you know what happens? The enemy's always watching, whether you like it or not. He's always watching. It tells us in the Word that he's a roaming lion seeking who he can devour. But if he sees you battle ready, he's not going to probably come at you as much. And if he does, I'm going to give you what the secrets to the battle are in just a minute. We have to pay attention to the enemy's we need not to pay attention to the enemy's distraction or lies. We can get so much noise going on around us, and some of it is self-inflicted. A lot of us do creative avoidance and all kinds of other things. But we have to make sure that we pay attention to God's vision and his strategy, and we stay diligent and persevere, and we work through the night. This wall was built in record time. It was supernatural. You can build your business in a supernatural time frame by persevering and not getting distracted by the enemy's distractions in life. We have to persevere with courage and be diligent with our productivity. You know, our productivity increases from meditating on the Word of God. And I know that sounds really silly, because a lot of people say, well, I have to hurry up and get to work. I don't have time to read my Bible, or I don't have time to pray. But our productivity increases. And I want you to try this out this week. I promise you it works. Increase your productivity by meditating on the Word, because all things are birthed in prayer, and then they're brought to fruition with faith. And where does faith come from? It comes from hearing and hearing, which is basically meditating and chewing over that Word of God over and over again. So it comes from the Word of God. So a couple of things that I want to point out to you in addition are some leadership lessons from Nehemiah, because I think as leaders it is important that we really focus on this, because, you know, even though Nehemiah was the leader who first articulated the vision, the people confirmed the vision and they committed themselves to the tasks, and the gifts of everyone that were involved in the project and the process were required in order to achieve the vision. So we, a lot of times, if we're given the vision as leaders, we may not be the sole and only leader, and we definitely can't be a leader if we're just walking along by ourselves, right? I love how John Maxwell says, you know, if you're a leader and nobody's following you, you're just going for a walk. That's what this is. So we've got to make sure that we can really do our best to develop teams. Accomplishing the vision for Nehemiah wasn't easy. There were divisions, there were hard feelings, there was great outside opposition. They at times had a wavering of faith. But what happened is they decided that they were going to be convicted and be persevering faithfully, even though they weren't perfect. So just so that you know, it doesn't mean that you have to be perfect in your walk. Because I know a lot of people think, well, if I just do everything right, then I'm going to be able to build the team and go to the top of my business. That's not necessarily the case. And that's not necessarily the case even with our own marriages, right? So let's look at some of the lessons that Nehemiah showed us in this book. That God always calls leaders. He always does. Because he wants to work in and through people. But the leaders must hear God's calling to lead and respond to the call. How do we hear God's call? Usually it's in that very quiet, still place, in the most inner part of our heart, that God will speak to us. It's through a lot of prayer. And sometimes it might even be through some times of where we feel like we're in the thick of the battle, and bad things are all around us because we don't get desperate enough to seek him and to quiet our own self and our own noise. We have to really understand that leadership is a calling from God. It's a responsibility and it's a call, and therefore we're going to be responsible to God for this, whether we obey it or not. And then what happened that I saw is Nehemiah listened and he came to see the need. He listened to the people. He cares for their situation and cares for the people. And then he helped define the reality of the situation. Because, I mean, how many times as leaders have we heard people on our teams call us and they're like their hair's on fire. And then you realize it's something like, you know, oh, they just couldn't log into the website or they couldn't find this one piece of information. And you think, you know, the world's coming to an end. There's very few life emergencies in business, in any business. It might feel that way to us, but there's very few. And so we can take the emotion out of it. We can see where the trouble is. We can put together and bring it before the Lord our idea. What is the vision? Lord, give me the vision for my idea. Couple this and show me exactly what to do so that you can talk about exact truth to others. You know, God's direction and vision were also sought. And it wasn't just like, okay, Nehemiah said, okay, yep, I can see the walls are bad, and yep, you guys are under attack, and it's a vulnerable situation, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to build the wall, or, you know, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to find some investors to find the money, and they're going to pay to get this taken care of. No, he sought the Lord. He prayed, and he fasted, and he said, you know, God, is what you put on my heart, is this really your vision? And then God confirmed that. You know, and it could have been, he was the king's cupbearer. He didn't have to go do this. He had a pretty easy, cheesy life as far as being, you know, taken care of and had a good job. But God called him and he obeyed. Prayer is also essential to know God's will. That's another key important point. And many times we overcomplicate things. God's vision is very simple. We sometimes complicate things so much with so many complex systems and things like that. He just said, you know what? Rebuild the wall. Rebuild the wall. But he had given Nehemiah wisdom and direction every step of the way. And Nehemiah stayed in prayer. He stayed before the Lord. But he took the skills that he had learned in the palace to be able to teach and coach these other people on his team to rebuild the wall. You know, God, as a leader, he helps us to build our teams. And he expects us that we remain in him and that we're good leaders. But he does that first by using the law of connection to gather buy-in from his people. He connected the hearts of his volunteers before asking them to sacrifice their time and energy. And this is a key component that I teach everything in everything I do, because I know that this is so important and it's right from God's principles. But many times we want to skip those steps in our businesses and we don't take the time to connect the hearts before we ask for time and energy. And he appealed to their sense of dignity, identity, and responsibility. How many times have you thought about your team and maybe thought, well, you know, they're my team, they're under me, they need to do what I tell them to do. I'm the successful one, I know what to do. Or do you really take the time to get to know their hearts, connecting them to the vision, show them how they are people of great value and how you value their responsibility and you dignify them and who they are, not what they do, but who they are. It required many hands, and this was the only way he could make that happen. You know, the other thing that I love about Nehemiah, too, and that I thought was fantastic was that he used all of his resources. You know, motivation without organization is going to equal frustration. I'm going to say that again. We all try to motivate our team to do everything, but listen to this. Motivation without organization is going to equal frustration. So he had an organized, well-thought-out plan, well-communicated, well-expected plan, and well-inspected plan. The strongest organizations are the simplest. He kept it very simple. Leaders also love everybody, but they move with the movers. We need to love everybody on our team, but we move and we interact with the movers and the shakers, the new and the strong. God's or good organizations establish clear lines of authority. they don't get everything all muddled up, and they keep those boundaries. It didn't mean that Nehemiah wasn't friends with some of the people. Of course he was. And friendship and love and care all are a part of it. But they knew exactly what the chain of command was, and there were boundaries that were put into place. So if you're a leader and you don't have office hours, maybe this is something that you need to consider to rebuild your business. Or maybe that during office hours you talk about office things, and during off time you talk about family or friend things. People also do what you inspect, not what you expect. Of course, we put our expectations out, but they're going to actually fulfill and do what you inspect. Leaders provide a supportive climate of trust and teamwork, and successful organizations recognize and reward effort. You know, what Nehemiah did is he used his resources. He positioned his people in their natural strength and gifting and talents and their interests. And he made sure that they didn't get discouraged by the adversity. He kept the real purpose before the people. It was very clear, very direct. And he also realized that God had his vision, and that he empowered and developed other people to carry on in his place. So as leaders, we need to, if we're in the process of rebuilding our organization, keep these things in mind. And we also need to make sure that we are using influence, that we use our leadership, that we teach our leadership, that we communicate the vision, that we solve the issues, that we solve the problems, and that we always bring other people with us in the process. So I promised you some practical principles that you can use to build or rebuild your business, and this works for everything in your life as well. Number one, boldly declare what God will do for and through you, your life, and your business or ministry. Say it out loud. That's how we create, right? We also need to pray. All things are birthed in prayer. We need to praise God before we see the answer. Immediately after we get done praying, we need to praise God before we see the answer, before we see the result, before we see the victory, and we need to praise him in that battle for what we are believing for and standing in faith for. Number three, we need to refuse to entertain doubt, fear, unbelief, discouragement, uncertainty, and we need to not focus on the obstacles. We need to, number five, bind the demons and their influence, and we need to shout scripture at the devil just like Jesus did in the wilderness time of preparation for his ministry. We learned about that last week in last week's Bible study. We need to send forth and call forth the angels of God because we are his representatives here on this earth, and we have that right according to the scripture. Number seven, we need to praise and worship God and say that he is good and that his mercy endures forever. Yes. This is mentioned multiple times throughout scripture. Number eight, we need to share the character of Christ by living out the fruit of the Spirit. And nine, don't be distracted and lag behind the cloud of God's anointing and leading, and do not run ahead with others that are not under authority or rebellious and complainers. How will you know this? You'll have the peace of God in your heart. I hope today's Bible study was good for you, and you've got some great tips there on how to build and rebuild your business. Of course, we could go on and on. I mean, Nehemiah is fantastic. I'm going to encourage you to study that whole book. It's a short book in the Old Testament that you could study this week, about building and rebuilding and developing teams. There's so many parallels to building our businesses. I'm going to go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, I just love you and I thank you for your word. I pray that we are good soil and that the enemy will not take the seed that you have sown of your word out of our hearts or out of our minds this week, Lord. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you that your goodness and mercy do endure forever. I thank you that you are with us in and through the battle. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you will be with the woman that had sent her prayer request to me early, Lord. You know the situation of her marriage. We bind the enemy now in the name of Jesus, and we call forth marriage restoration. We bind the spirits of divorce and lust. And Lord, I pray that you will give her the strength. Help her embrace your strength to go through this battle, Lord. Lord, I pray that you will continue to refine her. Help her to be the wife that she needs to be. We ask, Lord, that you that there would be no unforgiveness, that there would be no roots of bitterness, that there would be only the expectations would be released in the name of Jesus, and that there would only be love, love coming from you and how you would want us to love each other. And Lord, help us always to remember that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and the powers of the air, against the evil ones, against the demons and the demonic forces. Lord, I also pray for Michelle that she will stay encouraged and walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, I pray that you will bring peace into her home and into her family. Father God, I pray that you will bring her children to the saving knowledge of you, and that you would help them to walk out their Christian walk, Lord. That they would have a true Jesus encounter, that her husband and her would be joined in unity and in faith. And Father God, I just pray that you will be with Kimberly, and that she would move forward even in adversity. I pray this over each and every person hearing this, that regardless of what our adversity is, even though we've got all of the distractions and all of the enemy coming as we are building, Lord, that you will help us move forward with your strength, with your boldness in adversity. And Father God, we praise you for Cammie's neighbor, that she can move her fingers. We are believing for their salvation, Lord. Continue to bless them. Oh, Lord, bless them and restore them. Thank you for restoring the movement in her fingers, Lord. We praise you for that, Lord. We also pray that you will continue to draw them close to you until you are their Abba Father, that you are embracing them as your children. And Lord, I pray that you will, as she's bringing her consultants to church, Lord, that you will continue to bring them and grow your kingdom. Help us to be faithful ministers in the marketplace. Help us to be faithful in sharing your gospel, being that fruit of the Spirit always shining forth from us, being in our robes of righteousness, not being sloppy or lazy or staring at the obstacles, Father God, not to be disillusioned, but to stand on your word. Help us to have the faithfulness to get into the word. Give us the strength. We know we can't even breathe without you, Father God. So I ask that you would give us the strength and the tenacity to get into your word, to pray, to fast, to study, to meditate, and have that be the thing that guides us forward as we move forward each and every day of our lives. Lord, I pray a blessing over each and everyone's business. I pray that you will bless them as they come in and they go out, that they will have favor over with man. Just like you had said, even about Nehemiah praying for the favor as he was going to go before the king, I pray that you will grant them mercy in the sight of all men. And Lord, I pray a faithful, anointed blessing upon their lives and their businesses, upon their families and upon their marriages. And I pray that they will have your weapons, the weapon of faith, the weapon of your word, and the weapon of prayer in one hand while they are building with the other. That they would stand strong and be good examples to their family, and that their family would rally with them, that this is something much bigger than just themselves or their own direct selling business. This is kingdom-appointed ministry in the marketplace. Bless them, Father God. Make this be an extraordinary week, because we want to give you all of the praise and all of the glory for all the good things that you are going to do in and through them this week. We praise you, we give you glory, we thank you, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I hope that you had a time of enrichment today. I can stay up for just a couple minutes if there's anybody else that has prayer requests or anything like that. I'm going to turn the recording off now at this point, though, in case that's something that you wanted to have a private prayer request over.